It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, now you have to pretend that you haven't seen this before.
Okay.
It's all new and exciting. So, see, here we are. This is, look at that whale tail back there.
Whales?
In the decoration.
Wow. I didn't know there were whales. Amazing.
There's a whale over here, yes. And I'm very careful. Over here is a shark. And the shark's face is a bunch of amethysts.
That's shocking.
It's very cool looking at it from a better perspective. Now, we go over the ground here safely. There's the outside. And I made a hilarious joke about the rapture that's going on out there. It is not particularly sunny. It is very overcast. In fact, we had thunder and lightning earlier. But it is a very bright ocean, I guess. And so that's what you see. But what it is actually just angry waves outside.
Gotcha.
All right. Now, nobody who didn't want to be on camera got on camera. Here we are. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is now semi-coastal.
Are you feeling okay? You seem a little...
Yeah.
No, you're just relaxed.
Good. I'm just very relaxed, and we have no emails, and I have done nothing since I last saw you, so... I have internalized all the anxiety and just been like, what's up? For those of you just joining us, I'm on vacation, so figure out what the podcast is all on your own. I don't care. So how's your week been?
Well, let's see. School.
I guess it's a week and a half because we had to do double, but technically today is Tuesday.
Yeah. My phone is, so I got a new phone.
Oh, why? Why'd you do the old one?
It's just sitting on my table over there. I think I'm going
to. It's like I have to be cutting edge.
No, what really happened was Abby wanted or needed a new phone or whatever. And so I got one too, just as a consequence of that happening. It's kind of like when she gets a haircut, I'll go in and get a haircut. It's kind of the same thing. Anyhow,
that's
so
funny.
I have this.
I did not know that part. That's, I like that.
So I have this new phone and it's sitting right here.
Do you
here
think she ever schedules a haircut for herself, even though she's not ready because she thinks yours has gotten too long?
No. She has to go in more often than I do.
Okay.
It's one of those deals where she's going in and she'll say, do you want to come with me this time or next time or whatever? Because I don't go in every time she does. She goes more often than I do. But anyhow, the phone is sitting here, like right next to the microphone. And she's texting me right now about some things, which I'll answer the text later, but they're buzzing in. They're kind of loud. But anyway. So yeah, this new phone is, you know, it's okay. It works a little bit different than my other one. So I had to get used to a little bit different way of doing
what
things.
What is it?
It's a Pixel, which.
Okay.
I guess the last one I had was a Motorola. And she had a Pixel. I had a Motorola. And now we both have Pixels.
Which is, so, that's Google's baby. So is it Chrome OS then? Or is it its own special Pixel OS?
No, I mean, it's Android. They're in.
Oh, okay.
They're, their Android phones, which I, that's also a Google thing, I think, or Google had a hand in that, Android or something. I don't know. I don't really know much about these things. You know, she does, because the first, you know, the first time I ever got a phone was just a few years ago when she got one and got one for me. And I don't know, how long ago was that? Not that long ago.
No, it wasn't, because I haven't had mine that long. And you were quite a while after me.
Yeah. So, and my, everyone in my family had iPhones and still do. I think I'm the only one with an Android phone. And they used to text and interact and stuff. Like, I was completely, I mean, even I did for a long time, I didn't even know they were doing that. And then it's like, oh, you guys text all the time and talk about stuff.
Mostly like, about you, I'm assuming.
No, I mean, I'd go home and they'd be talking about something. And I'd be like, what are you guys talking about? Oh, this happened. Well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. Oh, well, when we talk about it in text, I guess we just think to ourselves that everybody knows what's going on. But so now I hear about things that I didn't used to hear about, which is nice because some of it's important. Like one time I went home and they were talking about, you know, dad being in the hospital and stuff like that. It's like, what? Dad was in the hospital? Well, yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's
what do you mean?
Only something phone owners need to know about.
Why are you acting like I should know this?
What are you going to do about it, landline?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that all in text, didn't we? I said, yeah, you apparently did. I mean, it was never anything that, you know, if it was that serious, they would have contacted me. But, it, you know, it's kind of thing I would have wanted to know. But anyway, now I know about things, and it's been nice.
They were texting some other William that they thought was you, that was just a stranger somewhere. It's like, you were always so attentive in our texts, William. What happened?
Well, I think before they were all texting each other, because I don't think they all had phones at the same time. I think Facebook was sort of a big deal, and everybody, because I'd gotten off before all of my family got on Facebook.
They were waiting.
They were waiting for me to get off. Yeah. So I think they were talking on Facebook a lot before that. But anyway, so now, now I get to know stuff that's going on. So it's nice. I mean, that was the one good thing about getting a phone. And so when Abby decided, well, I'm going to get a new phone, or you want to get a new one too? I said, well, I mean, I guess. I mean, you're supposed to upgrade or something every once in a while. So I've been getting used to that. Know. And then
I still got my first cell phone ever. Although once again, it is going, the case that has saved me so many times, one of the buttons of the case snapped off on the way here. So the beginning of the end, I'm sure.
Well,
Lil Wayne used to pour moderately priced champagne on this. So it's a collector's item.
So my new phone has a new case and everything. So my old phone with its old case, all of that is just sitting over on the end table next to my chair in the living room there. And I have, reset all of the factory settings. So all of my stuff is erased off of it. And I've made it so it can't connect to the Wi-Fi or anything like that. But if you were, and I took all the security features off of it. So if you turn it on, you don't have to log into it or anything. It'll just come on, and it's got some basic features in it. So I think I'm going to, when the grandson comes over, I think I'm going to show him how to turn it on and stuff. Maybe try to show him how to take pictures with it, see if he gets into that. But otherwise, if he just wants to play with it, because he does, he likes to play with cell phones. He just likes to, touch a thing and then it does something. He doesn't even care what it does. It helps
give it a year, so he'll be doing Fruit Ninja and Clumsy Ninja. They always start with the ninja ones. I don't know what it is.
Well, the thing is, there's no, I've disabled all the ways for it to easily hook up into the internet or whatever. So it's, there's not a really way for him to download anything on it, even accidentally.
You're worried your two-year-old's going to get into cryptocurrency.
No, he's very easily entertained just by, like I said, being able to touch something and then it responds with anything,
Oh, yeah, no.
What it is.
We had friends who gave their old, they took the battery out and gave them the kid just a dead phone, and they still liked it because they would get to push buttons and pretend they were talking and stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, he could the one thing he could actually do that would have a result that he could like, and it also would make noises and everything is take pictures.
The MGM yeah. sports betting app.
So I'm just wondering if I teach him how to take pictures, would he like do it to get all of the visual and audio responses from the thing and maybe even like have fun, like pointing it at someone, pushing a button and then being able to see, oh, look, I captured them in this image kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, he's only two, but he's really smart. So I'll see. But if nothing else, he'll enjoy playing with it. He likes taking other people's phones. And if he's got one, because that's another thing that
he likes stealing.
He likes doing what the adults are doing.
Mm.
Whatever it is.
That's why he's always arguing politics.
He likes doing what the adults are doing. And he notices right away if you give him a task that looks on the surface like what the adults are doing, but it's not really what the adults are doing.
Mm.
Like if you give him a toy that's supposed to be a cell phone, he will like that, especially if it's really bright and flashy and noisy. But he'll notice right away, this isn't a real cell phone. And he'll want a real cell phone.
So what you need to do is pull out a fake cell phone and you start messing with it. And then later try and give him a real one. And he'll be like, this isn't the thing you have.
Well, I mean, that is typically what adults will do with kids is they'll say, you know, to get them to do something when they want to do what the adults are doing, you start doing the thing you want them to do. Like, oh, you don't want to eat that food? Well, I'll eat it. Oh boy, this is really good. And suddenly they want to eat it. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll take some of his toys sometimes and I'll start doing something with it. And suddenly that'll make it really valuable to him. But yeah, he really
That's
likes
how
to do
podcast got started.
He really likes to do whatever the adults are doing. And he spots right away if, oh yeah, you can do what we're doing. And then you give him something to do that's like what we're doing, but it's not what we're doing. And he figures that out right away. And he's like, no, I want to do this. And of course he usually can't do that. He's just not even capable to do it. And so it's like, no, you gotta do something else, buddy. Cause that's not going to work. He's really funny. But yeah, we're not that far away from number two coming along. That'll be in
oh my goodness,
early June or late May.
Oh my!
I know it. In some ways, it seems it's not that far away. It's just a handful of weeks.
Are you gonna have Delmer during the?
I presume so. I presume so.
Has he stayed overnight before without them?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Sure. And he's last time he stayed was he had some anxiety about it, and that's the first time that it's ever happened. He's been over here several times. And
well,
and,
now that he's gotten to know you.
Well,
I didn't have anxiety at first either.
And you know, his mom mentioned that that's the first time they'd ever seen him do that, but he wasn't entirely well, and he calmed down right away. I mean, it didn't last very long. Because all that day, whenever someone left the room and like went downstairs or went into the bathroom or something, whoever it was, he would start to get a little upset because he was out of sorts that day. So I don't think it was really any kind of new separation anxiety. I think he was just doing what he'd been doing all day long. And then like 2 minutes later, he was fine. So yeah, he likes coming over here and staying. I mean, we've picked him up sometimes up there and driven him back here. He doesn't have any problem staying with us or anyone else. I don't think he's not very,
I mean, he absolutely refuses to stay with me. He hasn't stayed once.
He doesn't get nervous or shy around strangers at all. So I imagine eventually that kind of thing will develop. It often does with kids, but I don't know.
It's hard to say. Kids, all kids are different. I've known some that we had to take them home midnight kind of thing because they were too nervous, and others that just didn't stay away from their family until they were much older. But then others that we just gave them away and haven't seen them since, and they're fine.
Well, he's very engaged with everything, including other people. So he's like, he's just interested in everything. I don't know how he's going to react to a sibling. You never know.
No.
Some kids, it's fine. Some kids, it's like not just fine, it's really good. Like they're very invested in the sibling. And of course, some kids aren't, they don't like it at all. And they,
that's how everybody felt about me.
Well, I mean, I think it took, I mean, my brother, so as I've often said, I was born a year and 2 days after him, 2 days after his first birthday, I was born. And I don't think I think immediately it was obvious he didn't like that. And I'm pretty sure I recall the whole time growing up with him, it was pretty obvious that
up
he didn't
to
like
this day.
He's better now, but it took a long time. Like, you know, yeah, it took a long time. Like when he left home and had an apartment by himself, which he did pretty much immediately that he could. I think there were times where one of us like stayed. I think the youngest kid lived with him for just a little while, which I think he was okay with. He didn't like hate us or anything, but I think he was like, you know, not super keen on, you know, continuing to live with other members of the family or whatever. And when I moved back to Des Moines, maybe I've told this story, it's pretty funny. I only lived like a couple miles away from him. And that's the first time I lived that close to him since he moved out of our house. And so I would go over and visit because, you know, I've always kind of, you know, worshiped the ground he walked on or whatever. I always like spending time with him. And he sort of reluctantly would allow me to come over and stay. You know, he married late in life. So when I was, so he was single for, you know, a lot of the time that, and that time when I lived near him, he was single. So, you know, it's like on a Friday night, I might want to come over and hang out or whatever. So I'd call him and he'd say, he'd pick up the phone. I think he knew it was me because he had caller ID or whatever. He said, "How did you know I'd be here?" I said, "Well, I didn't know that you'd be there." "Yeah, I'm always here." Like he was insulted. I was even trying to call him on a Friday night.
So rude.
But indeed, he was always there. So it's pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, my relationship with my brother Scott's kind of interesting. But yeah, he's not at all like that now. As you know, he's never
home on a Friday night.
No, he's not. He's not. Like I said, I don't think any of us ever felt like he hated our guts or whatever, but he could be kind of grumpy around us. Like, okay, you guys can go now kind of thing. He's never like that now. I don't remember when that stopped, but and it didn't bother any of us because that's just the way he was, you know.
Scott and I are starting a new podcast in a few weeks, by the way, that'll give you the true perspective on all this. The working title so far is I Hated Them All.
No, I never.
I won't even get into who I'm going to bring up in it, but he Scott would just definitely get, has a plan.
He would just get grumpy and sometimes, like with the sibling right after me, the one that lives in Alaska now, they famously were fighting and stuff. Not really fighting.
Fought all the way to Alaska.
Not really fighting. It was more like the sibling just younger than me, he just liked to press people's buttons, you know, and it was kind of easy to push Scott's button. So that's what he did. He would just, you know, pick until Scott reacted.
Oh yeah. I've witnessed this. There obviously were other prices to pay, but again, I was in an unusual situation. There's a huge gap between me and my siblings. So a lot of the issues of children growing up and sibling rivalries and stuff didn't exist, but then a whole slew of other things that were mostly, I was sort of their practice at parenting. I would go stay with them in early adulthood, and they were great. It was wonderful. And afterwards, they were always like so glad I was leaving because I was an annoying little kid. So they still let me come visit, but every time I could tell by the end, like, they needed a break.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes what everyone else's recollection of us. I mean, we talk about things and what everyone's impression was about various things, but we don't talk about absolutely everything. And one of the things that I don't know if we've ever really hashed out is what everyone's impression was of just growing up in a tiny little house with everybody was like. Like for me, there were drawbacks, of course. You've got one bathroom and seven people are trying to use it and all that stuff. But for me, it was like, that didn't matter. I loved growing up on the farm. I loved growing up with a family with siblings so close together. I don't remember having any personality conflicts. I mean, I remember, we had disagreements and things like that, but like chronic personality conflicts. No, I don't remember that. The only thing I looked forward to in terms of, say, moving out was just, having some more space and having, like I said, not having to share a bathroom with a whole bunch of other people.
For those of you who haven't spent a lot of time with us, William's family was the inspiration for the TV show The Waltons. So, yes, William is John Boy.
It could be that if you talk to everybody else,
it's weird because John Boy is the youngest, I think, and William was not, but he was still John Boy.
Maybe other people would say that it was really unpleasant for some reason or other, but all that I have are good memories of it. And
my father and his siblings, he had three, and then later on a cousin who was close enough that she was sort of considered one of the siblings. They would have an annual get together. They would have a hotel up on the coast that they would all meet at and just spend a weekend hanging out together, even into old age. And one of the things they did is every time they would answer a series of questions and then write up a series of questions for the next year. That I'm sure was my dad's idea because it was very his kind of thing. And so just like, best memories and, just interesting things about life and how you feel about things. And sometimes not every sibling could make it if someone was overseas or whatever else, but they pretty much did it every year and it was a very big deal. And then dad died. Some people moved away and it's kind of over now, but it totally strikes me as the kind of thing you would be into.
Well, one sad thing that happened after I left was I didn't come back very often, because it's a very small house.
They told you not to.
No. As soon as someone left,
were their words.
Remember, I shared a bed with a sibling until I was like 17, and then there all four of us were in a room. Every time someone left, the rest sort of took over that space and then therefore had more space. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to go home.
Like a fungus.
I wasn't going to come home and kick somebody out of their space. So, so I didn't often come home because I didn't think of home as a place that had somewhere for me to stay anymore because that person spread out like they should have. They should have done that. But I think my parents got the impression, I don't know if my siblings did, but I think my parents got the impression that I just didn't want to come home. Well, that wasn't it at all.
I mean, I
got
to say, that's a big assumption to be like, yeah, if I come home, someone will have to sleep somewhere else. And I'm sure my presence isn't enjoyable enough to warrant that. And I'm not going to discuss it with them. I'm just not going to do it.
Now, I mean, it wasn't like that. I mean, I did discuss like that. No, I discussed
it. And they were like, we agree. We'd rather be able to sleep in our own bed than even look at you.
Again, I think the siblings were like fine with it. It's like, okay, well, good. We have all this space. I just think my parents thought that if I, if I wanted to come home more often without a car, And without, you know, a specific place to be or a specific room to be in, that I would just do so. Like, those things didn't matter, but they did matter. And so, you know, and I didn't tend to think that I would, you know, be missed or anything, which that was stupid of me to think, but that is what I thought. So, and I was in school, I mean,
that's
and sometimes
what I think of you. So
sometimes I was in school over the summer. So, I mean, I wasn't just sitting, I wasn't just here not doing anything. So it took a long time for me to sort of convince them that, no, I wasn't. There was just a very brief period of time where I didn't get home very much. It's like, well, this is these are the reasons. It wasn't because I didn't want to come home. And certainly when I did have a car and I had means and all this other stuff to get home and stay maybe with one of my siblings who also had their own place and whatever, well, then of course I did it very frequently throughout the year. But, you know, until that happened, you know, but
I haven't talked to you in 12 days. Already feels too soon.
Anyway, I don't even know why I'm talking about all this. Probably because the class I'm taking,
we got no emails.
Probably because the class I'm taking is a family counseling class.
Oh man.
Got all this stuff in my stupid head.
This is gonna be a long term for all of us involved here.
Long quarter. Anyway, so talk about your week and what you've been doing on your
I haven't got a lot to talk about. We've just been hanging out. The first part was real fun. My whole family was here. That all went real well. I think my mother had a very good birthday.
Mm.
We went out to her favorite restaurant around here for dinner on her birthday, and she enjoyed it so much, she decided we were all going to come back on Saturday.
Mm.
So we ended up going twice to that restaurant. And then since, and we got to hang out with our niece some, which was cool, like on our own, because she's 22 and doesn't want to sleep on a pull-out couch, and we had an extra bedroom, so she came and hung out here, which was neat. We haven't ever had a chance to spend more than like a meal with her since she's been a grown-up, basically, so that was pretty cool.
So she was 10 when we started podcasting.
Yep, she was 3 when Trish and I got married.
Mm. Wow, we knew each other that long before podcasting, huh?
Oh yeah, like we knew each other since 2001. We've known each other as long as Trish and I have dated.
And
now, admittedly, we weren't that close. I mean, that's like basically you taught that first class I had about the time Trish and I went out on our first official date. But I mean, you were my boss when I was getting married. That's part of why you got invited.
Yeah, but you'd come over to my desk and talk and stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, that happened very early on.
Which was great.
But not until I moved to Vision. I didn't come all the way over from accounting.
No. That's when the famous Simpsons conversation.
Yep. And the I'll pay you $15 to eat this Big Mac conversation that I told just the other night to my vegetarian brother-in-law. But other than that, we have just been chilling. We went out to lunch yesterday. I think we might go out to dinner tonight because we have a couple places we want to go to, but mostly we're just hanging out doing what we want. Trish has been making cards. I've been playing a little Cult of the Lamb. I finally got that game because everybody else in the world loves it. Do you not know this game?
No.
This is a game that came out earlier this year, I think. Maybe it was late last year. It's you play a little lamb that's about to be sacrificed to these gods so that a prophecy can't happen. But then you die and a different, the one who was banished or something like that, this other nameless, faceless god, chooses to bring you back to life as their acolyte. And you start a cult in their name, and you have to fight through the dungeons to get resources and kill the minions of the bad gods, and you will uplift yours. And it's very Lovecraftian horror, but you're also playing an adorable little lamb. And it's been very popular in the world and amongst people I know.
And it's pretty cute while also being really horrifying. So I'm digging that. Pretty soon I'll be able to sacrifice my followers to eldritch beings and stuff like that.
Oh.
Currently, I just make them food and make them pray and give a sermon one time a day, which my eyes flip back in my head when it happens, and clean up their poop.
What?
Yeah, they just we don't have I haven't unlocked an actual latrine yet, so the followers just they're very very mindless followers and they just poop wherever they are, and if I don't clean it up, they're gonna get sick, so I have to work on that.
These are followers are also sheep, or they're
no, they're various cute little woodland creature type things. I can actually change them and rename them. I haven't been doing that. The first one I saved from being sacrificed to the other gods. And so they're like, yeah, that's great. And then the other ones I've had so far are mini bosses that I defeated. And as part of their plea for mercy, they offered to join my cult. It's a real, real dark game. That's also real, real cute. It's very much in that Hello Kitty meets Cthulhu vein.
I didn't know there was a vein like that.
Yes, you did, because while you were my boss, we discovered amongst the many webcomics we discovered Hello Cthulhu, which is genuinely a comic about Cthulhu coming to Hello Kitty's world and it being too adorable for him to stand.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yes. Speaking of things that start with hello, we are still in the midst of Hello Tomorrow. In like three episodes I've watched since then, two of them I'm like, this might not be a good show, and the third one I kind of was into. I will see, we got four left, I'm gonna do it, but it's not what I was hoping for. And wanting to watch something really stupid and mindless last night, we watched Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Never seen a Fast and Furious movie or anything like that. So,
oh. Okay.
This is the first one.
All right. That seems like a weird thing to do, but.
It's because we're not interested in Fast and Furious movies, but Trish was really interested in The Rock and Jason Statham in a not getting along buddy cop kind of thing.
Okay.
And I got that too and figured what the hell, and we were really looking for something we didn't have to worry about. It's bad.
Bad, huh?
It's real bad. Real bad. Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to that. It's
okay.
I feel like I knew the kind of thing that I was walking into, but it's worse than I thought. It's bad.
It's worse.
Yeah, it's not good. But
okay.
Yeah, so this would be the point at which we'd answer our email. We haven't got one.
I did forget to mention that we're watching the third season of Picard. Do you watch that stuff?
Well, no, we don't have Paramount Plus.
Oh.
Also, no, I'm a little tired of Star Trek. If we had Paramount Plus, I would be watching Lower Decks, but that might be it. How are you feeling about it? There have been a lot of strong feelings, especially per season. Some people really thought season one was good and season two was terrible. Some people thought season one was pretty terrible and two was better. And then I've lost track. So how do you feel?
Well, I don't think the show for me has ever overcome the question of who is this for? I think it's always that has been sort of a cloud it's over
the Jean-Luc heads, of course.
That said, you know, I like this genre basically, and Star Trek, you know, even though I can find all kinds of reasons to complain about it, as you have pointed out, it seems like I've seen just about everything except Deep Space Nine. I don't, you know, why do I keep watching it? Don't know. It's probably just a genre thing. This season, so the first season, I would be in the camp of the first season that was kind of interesting story-wise, and the second season did not live up to that at all. So this season is almost a soft reboot. It's completely different direction, and they bring everybody from Next Generation back. Everybody.
And the marketing has made that very clear.
Yeah. That's why.
Which is interesting since some of those characters have died.
Well, I mean, technically. Okay, well, anyhow.
Actually.
And the, you know, that whole aspect of it, you know, bringing people back, you know, all of the supposedly nostalgic fan service things are annoying, but also, I don't know. Because see, I didn't watch all of Next Generation. I just watched maybe the first few seasons of it. Yeah, I didn't watch it all.
Oh.
So I don't really have a strong, I watched all the movies that they did, but I don't really have a strong connection to these characters that really. I mean, I think I understand them generally, what their character was like and how they interacted and everything. But I have kind of, maybe it's because of my own, you know, advanced age. I kind of like watching these older actors do things and interact with one another. And it's like, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of fun. I find the nostalgia and fan service stuff a little bit much. But, and another thing is they are trying to do things with the characters to show that they're not the same people they were 30 years ago. And I appreciate that story-wise. I think they do that mostly with Worf. And I've noticed that he gets some of the best lines. And like, whenever he says a line that's like really funny to me, I look it up. And sure enough, you know, even though these aired like 2 weeks ago, there's already t-shirts and buttons and everything with these quotes on them.
Nice.
He just gets these great little, nobody else gets the one-liners like he gets. It's really awesome. And Michael Dorn is doing a fantastic job too, which, I mean, I always thought that was a hard character to play.
Yeah.
And his makeup is a little different, I think, to help facilitate, you know, because he was always under so much prosthetics and stuff. It was really hard for him to really emote and stuff. Now I think they've toned that down and you can really get more of his performance, which is great because he's amazing. He's a great actor.
He is. And, although I just the other day I was flipping through streaming services and I saw a trailer for a movie that he's in. And there's a lot of this today. And I think it may be closely tied to Star Trek. If you are an actor who has primarily made their career by being in Star Trek, I believe your agents just have a figure that if you pay this much, they'll be in your movie.
Yeah, you're right. Sure.
And it is nowadays within a realm, and Star Trek fans are of such intense feeling that there are people who are like, I can put together $250,000 for a movie that I just make, even though I have no qualifications. Hmm. And 90,000 of it goes to Michael Dorn and he's there for one day of shooting. And so now I can advertise my movie because I've seen it so many times. I've seen it with Alfred Bester in Babylon 5, Chekhov. Crap, I can't remember his name. George Takei's been Walter Koenig, yes. George Takei's been doing it for ages. I think it's just a thing where it's because I was watching it, I'm like, he's not doing a bad job, but the entire movie around him is ridiculous. And this is just in the trailer. And I'm like, I think this is just a thing that happens now.
But I mean, you know, LeVar Burton is doing a great job. He's not just playing what he did. He's not just doing what he did 30 years ago. Brent Spiner is required to have some range in it. You know, it's like, this is
which
really,
he's been dying for. So I'm glad.
I mean, it's interesting. What they're doing with the characters is actually interesting. They didn't, you know, usually when people are doing this nostalgic fan service stuff, it's very lazy. It's like, well, all they have to do is show up and sit in a chair. But no, they thought about it. They tried to tell a story, and they, you know, they tried to come up with some interesting justifications for everybody to be in one place. And there's another character. There's a newer character. I wish I could remember this actor's name because I really like him. I'd like to see him in other things. He's a 35-year-old British actor, but he's playing someone who's 25, I think, which is fine. He doesn't look older than he's supposed to be, but I just think it's weird that he's 35. But he's really good in it. And I think he really helps for people like me who aren't especially nostalgic about this era and these characters. I think he helps, you know, make the story compelling and interesting. And some of the most compelling and interesting, you know, sometimes when you're watching a story, something happens and you're like, oh, that was a real gut punch. You know, that was really sad, or that was really interesting, or that was really surprising.
Yeah.
And if that happens in the show, it's almost always related to him somehow. And he's really good at creating the mood and the environment for those things to happen. So, I mean, I remember thinking recently while I was watching, I was like, man, I don't know what they're doing with the 007 property, but if they were going to have a new James Bond, this guy would be really good.
Yeah.
But
in answer to your question about who it's for.
Oh yeah.
It's essentially for me. If I still had that kind of love. Because if I was still into Star Trek, or even, I mean, I'm not a hardcore Trekkie. I don't think I ever really was. But Next Gen is my Star Trek. And so if I was still in that sort of vein, and if I was still a hardcore fan, this is the show I would want. Absolutely.
I mean,
it's for the young people.
Well, if someone who was interested in Star Trek or even science fiction generally asked me, well, should I watch this? I would think they would like it. I mean, because again, sometimes when they have a moment that's supposed to be a big and nostalgic and whatever, it's like a joke that doesn't land. You know, it's like they want all of the people to, you know, melt at this wonderful nostalgic moment, and it's like, oh, it just makes you roll your eyes. But there's enough in it. And there's characters besides the original characters that are interesting enough that, you know, I find it, I don't know, we like watching it. I mean, we've sometimes stayed up a little later than we should have to watch whatever the next thing was. So I think it's worth looking at if you have Paramount Plus or whatever. So if you don't have Paramount Plus, like, nothing that Paramount Plus makes ever ends up anywhere else, like Hulu or anything else.
Not so far. Huh. I mean, over the years that can change, but at present, no.
Interesting.
Well, wait, nothing that starts on Paramount Plus. The companies still go around. There are still things made by Paramount that end up other places. But if it's made for Paramount Plus, yeah, no. And the same for any of them, really. Except HBO has just started changing that. Max. They are shipping off some of their shows, so you can't see them there anymore. But you can see, like, Westworld is going to be licensed out to other streaming services and things.
I didn't know that.
Yep. So, you haven't seen the new Shazam?
Not yet. No, not yet.
All right.
Have
you been keeping tabs at all?
Keeping tabs?
On what the reception has been.
Oh, well, I mean, I know that it was a commercial flop, that I know. But I mean, we went to see, as you know, we went to see the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Yes.
And when we saw it, we had wanted to double feature. We used to like to do that all the time. So we thought,
we did two. In fact, one time we did three. One time, but it killed us, so we switched to two.
Yeah. So we thought, wow, this will be the first time in maybe a decade we've done a double feature. Let's go watch Fury of the Gods and we'll watch Dungeons and Dragons movie. Well, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So then we had to pick which one we were going to see. And so we just saw the Dungeons and Dragons one because...
I'm surprised that's what you picked.
I was a little too at first, except the thing is the Shazam movie had been out not for very long, but for pretty long for a movie of that quality. So we just thought to ourselves, we're going to be able to watch this at home real soon. So, you know, let's just watch, you know, the newer movie. Because it'd only been out a week. Or no, I think that was the first weekend that we went to see it.
It was the first weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, that it was out. So we thought, let's just watch the newer movie because we'll be able to watch this on HBO Max or something soon enough. And I mean, the things I've heard about it tell me or suggest to me that I'll probably think it's fine. I won't think it was a disaster that everybody else thought, but I mean, I'll understand why everybody else thought that. I'll probably still like it. Okay. I mean, they're not going to make another one, I don't think.
Oh no.
I mean, so when James Gunn took over this whole thing, there was a lot of speculation about what he was going to do. And for the critics and the commentators who I respected most about this and who I agreed with most about it, the general opinion was just start over. Let's just leave it all behind and let's start our cinematic universe all over. Maybe not even have a cinematic universe, just start over. And there was concern that that Gunn would start over, but he'd keep his darlings, right? Like he'd keep Suicide Squad and he'd keep whatever. And people thought that if he did that, it would really destroy his credibility. And I agreed. Mm-hmm. And that is what has happened. He's basically thrown everything out, but his personal things, including projects where his wife is featured in this stuff. So people are kind of suspicious about that. And so a lot of people are like, this is going to suck. I mean, if he doesn't have the guts to just start from square one and get rid of everything, even his own stuff, then, you know, what hope do we have that this is...
Or the opposite, which is just bow to the demands of The Rock and do whatever he tells you.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think he got...
No, I don't think so. But that would have been another option, I think. Those are your two choices. Start over fresh, do whatever The Rock says.
I think Dwayne Johnson thought that would happen. I think he thought that was might happen.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what he was shooting for.
So I don't know.
I had a weird experience.
Well, do tell.
I saw a trailer for an MCU movie that I might want to see.
Oh,
very deliberately not giving a shit about the overarching things, but the movie itself by itself, I think could be good.
The Marvels or?
Yep. The Marvels. Yeah. That looks fun. And I'm not going to go back and watch Ms. Marvel. I am not interested in that. I have not heard good things. I don't want to see it, but that movie looks fun. So we'll see what happens. I'm skipping a lot of other ones. So, we might go to the movies. So the weather here is very difficult to predict. It's raining every day, but sometimes that includes chunks of several hours where it's nice and sunny out. Sometimes it just is raining all the time, but we've still got a few days, and if it rains and we get bored, there is a fairly cheap movie theater that is showing current stuff. I think we might do Dungeons and Dragons or John Wick 4, because Trish wants to see John Wick 4. So that could happen, but maybe not. We're working really hard to sort of not set rules for ourselves about what we're going to do.
I think I've probably asked you this before, because this happens to me when I go to certain places, and it happens to me when I places. Do you, when you get out to the Northwest, do you ever feel like, I don't know, a sense of you're kind of where you belong, or like any kind of connection to that area? Yeah.
I very much used to. I have now reached the point where it's strange here.
Mm.
And it feels normal to be back in Iowa.
Mm.
And I've also reached the point where I crossed that threshold. I've lived more time in Iowa than in Oregon.
Right.
I mean, there's definitely a wave of nostalgia, but no, this doesn't feel like where I belong. Iowa feels like where I belong.
See, the funny thing about that is, when I go home to the farm that I grew up on, I feel like I should be there. I have felt out of place in this area the whole time. I mean, I've been here longer than anywhere else. I've lived on this piece of property in this house longer than I've lived anywhere else, but I still feel like a visitor.
Someone who lives in the town with you, we all agree. We all are also like, I still don't trust the new guy. Like, who's the new guy? Like, you know, someone who's lived here longer than most of us.
I don't know why I feel that way, but I like, and then when I go to vote in local elections, I feel like, I don't feel like I should have a say in this. I don't, this feels again, like.
Couldn't agree more. I also do not think you should have a say in this.
It's just weird that I feel that way, but I can't, no matter how long I stay here, I can't shake it. I just, when I drive home, so there's a point in a drive. So you go down 80 and then at Newton, you turn south on what I call Highway 14. And eventually there's a sign that you go through.
I love how you say that as though it's actually like Highway 31, but you're like, I always called it 14.
No, I mean, I don't know if it's officially Highway 14 anymore. I think they call it something else, but
it's just 14 Boulevard.
And maybe it is still 14. They changed the name of a lot of roads and stuff out there since I lived there. But anyhow, so you're going south on 14 from Newton and you eventually go through Monroe, Iowa. And as soon as you get through Monroe, Iowa, there's a sign that says Marion County on it. That's the county that I grew up in. And whenever I pass that spot. That's also
the county I grew up in.
I know. You've often said that. And as soon as I go past that sign, I just feel so good. I feel like I don't ever want to leave. I mean, I have to, but I just feel better being there. I mean, it's not just being in Iowa, it's being in that county and in that, yeah, on that farm. Very
specifically. That is interesting. I know for a lot of people, they lose some of that because where they were isn't the same. Like when Trish goes back to her childhood home, it's sort of her childhood home, but a lot of things have been remodeled and changed both when she was living there and later. And like, I'll go to my sister's home, which is the house we both grew up in. And a lot of it is very familiar, but a lot of it is very different.
Mm.
But if you're talking about the whole county, maybe just nothing ever changes there. So it all is exact. Well,
no, because that's funny you should say that, because the last time I was home, which was just a couple weeks ago, I was walking around the farm and nothing's the same. The first home I remember was a trailer that was just across the road from where Dad lives now. It's gone. The house I lived in right after that, across, that was my dad's house that he grew up in and my grandma's house, it's gone. Most of the trees that we would climb up and play around, that's all gone. When I do like mindfulness meditation and stuff, I sometimes imagine myself as a kid, you know, laying in the grass on the farm down there. The meadow that I used to do that in is gone. Now the geographical spot is still here. Like I can go find it and go, oh, this is where it was, but it's green grass. It's a lawn now. And you can't have that same experience in that spot. All of that's different. The barn's gone. A lot of the outbuildings are gone. And I remember thinking while I was sort of walking around and how it's, there's hardly anything there that's from my childhood. And even some of the things that are there are like there's if there an outbuilding still exists, it's collapsed and fallen down and it's a wreck, just a ruin. And I was thinking about how ironic it was, you know, when I first left home and I first came here and I heard people's impressions of rural life and rural people and how they talked about how you know, real people are set in their ways and everything's the same and nothing ever changes. And I just remember that's not what my life was like, because all those things that are gone, not all of them disappeared after I left. Some of them disappeared while I was still living there. You know, farms evolve and life on the farm evolves. And I think that I'm a person that actually does pretty well with change because I grew up in a rural situation. And I didn't, while I was thinking about all the stuff that had changed, I didn't feel sad or I wasn't really mourning anything, but I was trying to connect that concept of change and being used to change and being okay with change with me now, where a lot of things have changed in my life and it's been hard. It's been hard to adjust to being a student. It's been hard to adjust to a lot of other things that have changed. The whole surgery thing, a lot of stuff afterwards, it was hard to adjust. And I'm trying to think why, for most of my life, change was just a thing that was happening all the time. And I was fine with it even while some people around me weren't. But now I'm struggling with adjustment and change. And I don't know what.
I think that is something that comes with age. I don't know the underpinnings of that precisely. Although in theory, time moves faster when you're older. And so things may seem to change faster. Maybe. I feel like this whole speech is the opening of Act One of like a serious Donnie Darko sort of deal, where we find out you were supposed to have died in an accident when you were like 3, and you've been in like a rogue timeline this whole time. That's the whole time is you going to be coming back and like seeing you'll probably hallucinate some sort of monster out of the corner, and then it'll turn out it's you, and yeah. And we'll just fade out on your gravestone of dying when you were 3.
That sounds pretty good. You should put that together. That might be an interesting story.
I'm gonna work on it. That's what I'm mostly doing this vacation.
I wonder if one of my strategies for coping with change, without my really realizing it or thinking about it at the time, was pinning my hopes on the promise of stability down the road. Like,
I don't think that's uncommon.
Yeah. Tolerating all this change and adjusting to it and all that stuff. That's the price you pay for building a stable life that is less, you know, hectic when you're my age. And yeah, that didn't happen.
So that was always a variant of my deal, was I was always prepping for life, essentially. Yeah. I think, a lot. And so if I was missing out on things, or if I was messing things up or whatever, well, this is just the lead up, and then I'll be all set. And then eventually it was like, I think my life started a little while back now. I think this is the part I'm supposed to be reaping benefits, but it feels exactly the same.
Well, I think it's related to the whole thing about not feeling at home here, because, you know, it's like I've always thought of this place as being someplace I was passing through on the way to somewhere else. That didn't happen. So now here I am. And I have to, you know, because of the age I am and because of things that have transpired and everything, I think I have to come to terms with, well, this is where it was all, you know, this is the place it was going. It's not going somewhere else. So,
I would agree.
So be okay with it.
As someone who recently completed therapy, I would agree. Now that my mental health is on point, that's where I am. Yes, I approve. I approve of this outlook.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the whole bunch of stuff.
If you think you know where William should actually be, tell us in the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also go to YouTube if you're checking us out that way, and smash that like button, and leave us a comment about where you think William actually belongs. I did see just prior to this, Jazz put something on YouTube, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet because we're doing this. So I will check it out afterwards. Maybe it'll be interesting to look at. We are out of time. We managed to kill an hour. Please write in so we don't have to do this again. The magical talking hat at gmail.com.
It's too much about William's life, and I'm not comfortable with that.
So I'm not either.
If you could just, in general, give us...
I'll regret it all later.
Other things to work with. I'm going to leave you with... This is just for William. Well, I mean, other people might enjoy it too, but I think you'd like this. So, recently, within like the last week, there was a big Star Wars event in London where they did a big press thing and they invited everybody and they announced what movies and shows are coming.
Celebration, Star Wars Celebration.
There we go.
Yeah.
And I was watching a video of some people who were at it and some online journalists who were talking about it. And at the end, they said they've come up with the best way to troll Yoda fans. And that's to refer to him as Old Grogu. And he said, they hate that.
They really hate that.
And then he was like, are you just making it together? Refer to him as Old Baby Yoda. But yeah, so I thought Old Grogu was nice.
Nice. I like it.
So join us next week here with your two Old Grogu's, and we'll both be in Iowa then, so won't that be great? Okay, bye-bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.